It's time!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mast Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am PLU's half athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but I write about them, cover them, talk about them on the radio, do all I can with them. Joining me in studio is the captain of Team Cankle. Her name is Lacey Nicholson. Lacey, how did you get that honor?
I wasn't going to bring it up today.
Well, it happened. We have to talk about it.
I have a fat ankle. It's my left ankle, to be specific. Yesterday, I was playing a little pickup basketball, and since I am now a retired athlete, I thought I was okay to not wear my ankle braces and put a shot up and came down on someone's foot. Heard a couple pops, but it's all right.
She hit the shot and they won, though.
And I hit the shot and we won, so
it doesn't matter.
All is well. I could leave with my head high.
Did anybody warn you about, you know, playing without ankle braces and maybe as a retired athlete you should be careful? Did anyone warn you?
Yeah, so Drew was in
that loot.
Name that loot.
Happened to be in the gym at the time, and I wanted to play him one-on-one, and he refused to play me one-on-one because I didn't have ankle braces on. So I said, fine, I'll go play with these guys over here, and I twisted my ankle. And from across the gym, Drew said, what happened?
Told you.
And I said, I'm not going to tell you because I don't want you to say I told you so.
That's too bad.
I don't know what this group of people hates more, me or me being right. I haven't decided yet.
Well, you usually always are right, so.
Joining me in studio as well is the only athlete left on the 3.5 athlete staff right now. He is a tight end for the PLU football team. He wears number 87. His name is DJ Winter. DJ, how are you?
Doing real well. Shout out to all my peeps out there. Just a funny story from the weekend. So we're at softball, right, and bases are loaded, and my little brother, because we get the field prepped and everything.
Yeah, you guys do field crew.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And my little brother goes, hey, if she hits a grand slam, I'll buy everybody sushi. And sure enough, on a 2-2 count, it flew. And we went nuts. Drew could see us out there. I think I ran a 4.340. And it was awesome. But just a fun story from the weekend for everybody.
I don't like that story because poor Brady
is
a college student. How much did he end up paying for all you guys at sushi?
$140.
That's a lot of money for a little college kid.
Brady had to put his money where his mouth is. And that girl hung that pitch fat to Anna Overland.
Goodness.
Just hung it.
I was so excited. But I'm doing good, Christian.
Excellent.
Thanks for asking.
And rounding out our starting 3.5. Former member of the PLU men's basketball team. His name is Drew Artisoni. Drew, how are you today?
I'm doing really, really well. I'm really excited for intramural game tonight. Now that I'm a former college athlete, I can play intramural sports here. So me and the two other athletes in the room are going to playing in real basketball tonight, which would be an absolute blast. Kansas won last night on senior night, so that was good to see. They're now the number one team in the country. So everything's good in Drew's world currently.
Excellent, excellent. I want to remind those of you who are listening right now that if you want to listen to the podcast of this radio show, you can find it at mast.media.plu.edu. Go ahead and check us out there. If you want to hear short clips of the show, you can do it at YouTube. In your search bar on YouTube, type in Half Athlete Radio, and you can find almost everything we've ever done there. If you want to talk about a certain topic that we've talked about, or you want to react to an opinion given on the show, you can call us at 253-535-7332. Once again, it's 253-535-7332. So let's get going. Lacey, what do you want to talk about first?
Are we not going to warn them that we're
switching
things up?
Are we not going to warn them that there's been some major production directions and decisions made about the show?
For the better, for the better.
For the better.
Okay, here we go. Yeah. We changed the show. There, we told everyone. Go.
All right, I like
top 3.5 stories.
Okay, guys, so probably not surprising to you all, I want to talk about what everyone in the nation's talking about this last week is Kelsey Plum making history and becoming the all-time leading scorer in NCAA women's basketball. Were you guys able to watch the game?
I was not. I was doing field crew.
DJ and I were working.
Yep,
same.
Shoot.
Christian
I was
too.
Yeah. I was bundled up in my bed reading, and I got a text from my mom saying, you need to turn your TV on right now. Kelsey Plum was playing her last conference game against Utah, and she needed 54 points to break the record. And she ended the game with 57, which is not only a career high for her, but also a school record for both men's and women's basketball at UW. She was 19 of 28 shooting, 6 of 11 from beyond the arc, and made 13 out of 16 free throws. In her 39 minutes on the court. She's just incredible.
39 minutes.
Our producer, Christian Vaughn, refers to that as getting buckets.
Buckets.
That's buckets.
Which is what we will be doing tonight.
Yeah, which is what we'll be doing tonight. Yeah, she's incredible, man. Just, I mean, my reaction to that is, you know, she's now considered probably the greatest of all time, and she didn't go to the Power. She didn't go to UConn, which is really, really weird to think about. Is that we're talking about women's basketball and we're not mentioning UConn. And that's why I think that UW may be the only team come tournament time who has the scoring and rebounding ability to run with them.
And two All-Americans.
Yeah, they have the ability to. Yeah. Now, Gino Auriemma, I'm not even going to talk about how great UConn is, but
yeah.
I think UW and Kelsey Plum is the one team that can give them serious problems down the stretch. Also, I am really, really looking forward to the next Olympics where we can see Kelsey Plum play on Team USA because she's going to be on it, and I'm really, really interested to see her play. She's probably going to end up taking over Diana Taurasi's role once she retires. So I'm very looking forward to that.
She reminds me of another Husky that used to play back in the glory days. UW basketball, if you will.
There were glory days.
yeah, there were. Exactly. Okay. She's a 5'8 point guard, and she's super smooth with the ball, and like she scores like none other, as you can well see. Like me and Lacey were watching them play. Who was it the other night?
I think it was last Thursday.
Yeah, last Thursday, and me and Lacey like to joke around like, oh, like. It's women's basketball. They miss a lane or something like that.
Yeah.
But she makes plays that you don't expect. Like she would be doing lay-ins with the right hand, like, or like a step back jumper. Like she's unreal. And
yeah. Like, she can score in any which way, which is what's so incredible about her. She's a threat literally on any part of the floor, even if it's at the half court.
And like Drew said, she's the GOAT.
Yeah, that five eight guard knows what she's doing. Reminds me of another 5'8 guard with a step back.
Put it into perspective, we're here at POU, so the leading scorer in POU women's basketball history is Kim Corbray. She scored 1,730 points from 1994 to 1998. It's a good 2,000 or so less than Plum has, and Plum's still going. So fun stuff there. All right, DJ, what do you want to talk about next?
So Christian sent out a text yesterday that we needed to have a couple stories ready for these new segments that we were doing. And I was watching First Take, and they started talking about LeVar Ball, who's the dad of Lonzo Ball, and I'm sure LaMelo Ball, who dropped 92 earlier this year. And he came out with some interesting comments saying that his son was better than Steph Curry. The two-time MVP, Steph Curry.
Yeah, his son Lonzo Ball, who currently plays at UCLA. Yeah.
Yep. And he said if he was to switch spots with Steph Curry, he would make the Warriors better than they are now. Which is that's
almost
tough,
laughable.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost.
Is it really almost laughable?
I think it is. I mean, Steph Curry is a two-time MVP, and he has ranged from anywhere, and he's in the NBA, and Lonzo Ball's only in college.
Yeah, it's a completely different ball game.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. I like
exactly.
That.
And he also said in a video by TMZ that Lonzo Ball only wants to play for the Lakers. Like, that's – like, you don't have that power as a dad. Mm-hmm. The teams draft you, and you go where they want you to go. But just to put this in perspective – I agree with what LeVar Ball is like his main message. Like, he wants his son. He thinks he's the best. He wants him to be the best. And if I were looking at it as a parent, I would want my son, and I would think of my son as the best. And maybe he wasn't, mm-hmm. and maybe I'd have to realize that. I just wouldn't go out publicly saying it.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree, like, from the parent's perspective of what he is trying to say. Maybe not the way he's doing it, but what he's trying to say. What are you guys' thoughts?
I have a big problem with parents getting involved in their kids' lives. I mean, I think you can... It's okay to do it maybe through high school, but even then, I don't like it.
Yeah.
I think once a college athlete gets to college, they are a young adult, and they are capable of making decisions and speaking for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think... The dad here is really stepping on a lot of potential that these young players have because, what is his name? It's not Lonzo. What's
LeVar is the dad's
name.
Oh,
no, Lonzo is the is the player, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Too many L's. He's a freshman at UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, what, 18 or 19 years old. He's a young player and has so much potential. And he has the spotlight on him right now. Everyone knows how great of a player he is. And his dad is almost shining a negative light on him and kind of bringing a negative connotation to the name. And then even his younger brother, don't know his name, but he's in high school.
LaMelo.
LaMelo Ball. Yeah.
LaMelo dropped 92 in high school. He's just a little guy.
Shot 0 for 20 from 3 in a state championship game, though.
And got crossed up.
And got put on the floor. But that's a whole different story.
All right. Well, I mean, and he's looking to play in college and is going to have plenty of opportunities and offers, I'm sure, down the road, but I think his dad is, their dad is just kind of squashing a lot of their reputation there.
Yeah, he'll be playing at UCLA also.
Oh, that's
all
right.
All three brothers have committed to play UCLA.
Yep.
So let's think about this for a second. Okay. 29 games for UCLA. Lonzo Ball's averaging 14.8 points per game. Doesn't sound like a lot, but he's been efficient. He's shooting 55% from the field, 41% from three. Ball's averaging 6 rebounds a game while dishing out about 8 assists per game. All right. LaVar Ball, his dad, is comparing him to Steph Curry. Let's look at Steph Curry's freshman year of college. At Davidson, Curry averaged 21 points per game. He shot 46% from the field while going 40% from deep, dished out 3 assists per game, and pulled down 4 rebounds per game. Okay. Who would you rather have on your team?
Steph Curry.
Really? For the scoring?
But he's not talking about Steph Curry in college. Steph Curry in college at Davidson was the only guy Davidson had and was counted on to score and be a ball-centric guard. Lonzo Ball, because of Alford and because of the big, tall kid, he's got other top players on his team, other NBA talent on his team. So he's a pass-first point guard is what Lonzo Ball is able to do. Steph Curry did not have that luxury.
He's a more efficient player who helps his teammates, right? This is what you're saying.
He's talking about Steph Curry now to Lonzo Ball now. Steph Curry now.
Lacey talked about his potential.
Is the better player. He has great potential.
Yeah, he could.
Well, if he
could.
Keeps getting better, could he be better than Steph Curry? Yes. If he's already better than Steph Curry was as a freshman in college?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think he could be better.
But right now.
Yeah, right now.
He's not.
There's no way you can make that statement right now.
Because college basketball is way different than NBA basketball. Ask Buddy Hield. Ask D'Angelo Russell.
I don't know, guys. There could be some validity. LaVar Ball understands basketball. He runs a personal training business called Big Ballers Training. It's a great name. If I was an athlete, I want my coaches to be confident with me. I'd also want my parents to be confident in me.
Yeah.
For Lonzo Ball, he's got both in one person. So you can't fault his dad for being proud and confident in his son.
I can fault his father because this is where it lands for me, Christian, is that he should just keep his mouth shut, do his boys all a favor, because all he is creating a major distraction. Not only for UCLA, but for his boys, mm-hmm. because there's already some sports agencies who say we do not want to represent the Ball boys because we don't want to have to deal with their father because of what he is doing right now. It has been documented. There's been many of agencies who this has been reported about. Also, he's been really, really discouraging NBA GMs. Adrian Wojnarowski, who writes for The Vertical, talked about this last week. He said that many GMs do not want to draft Lonzo Ball despite his talent because they are afraid that he's going to come in expecting star treatment as a rookie. Hmm. It's just not something you get because I'm sorry, he ain't that. He's not Steph Curry. Steph Curry's a two-time MVP scoring champion and has a title. Lonzo Ball is not even going to probably make the Elite Eight.
Lonzo Ball hasn't had a chance to do the same things.
Yeah, that's true. Time will only tell. That's really what it comes down to, is we will only see with time if Lonzo Ball can live up to the expectations and become what Steph Curry is today.
Mm-hmm. All right, last story. Drew, what do you got for us?
Oh, so after the dad who can't keep his mouth shut and then the greatest of all time scoring, I shot for the heartfelt lane. If anybody paid attention this last week, it's senior week for Division I basketball. Aaron Harris is a injured Michigan State senior, and he got to check into the game one final time to kiss the Spartan at center court. It's actually a really, really cool moment. On senior day, Tom Izzo inserted him into the game in the final seconds so he'd get like one last standing ovation from the home crowd. So Harris, who got hurt just a week earlier at Purdue, walked onto the floor in full uniform with a brace on his knee and kissed the logo at center court as the clock expired. It was, you know, it's just like coach told his point guard to travel so he could check the kid into the game to do it. And I just, it is a very special moment. And I feel like if you got a minute today on YouTube, please go watch. It's like one of those like really nice heartfelt moments. And I know for at least the three athletes in the room, like, it doesn't matter how much time you spend somewhere or what you do or how it's done, but like at the end of the day, just playing the game and giving yourself to a school for that long and the amount of time you give up, like for coach to do that for him and for that like emotional thing to happen, I just thought it was a really, really cool moment. So go check it out on YouTube. I think it's a pretty fantastic ordeal.
Drew, I know Christian was kind of giving you a hard time asking you, why is this story worthy? Like, why do you want to put this on the show? Because he's our producer and he wants it to be the best, which I love.
Which it is.
It is.
But here's my two cents. I do really respect the choice of the program and the choice of head coach Tom Izzo to put him in and give him that moment. Harris, as some background, he was a solid player. He played 2 years at West Virginia University, where he got good time, was a good contributor there. And as a Spartan, last season Harris had 22 starts and averaged 9 points per game, shooting over 40% beyond the arc. He was able to start and play in 24 games of his senior season and contributed to the team in shooting over 10 points per game. So when you look at those stats and think, is this a worthy story? I mean, no, this guy probably wasn't going to go on to play in the NBA. He's probably not going to be the MVP of the league. But like you said, Drew, he's probably, if he's anything like us, he's a kid with passion for the game. And he has made it this far to his senior year in college. And I think because of that, he deserves that respect and that honor and to have that moment on the floor. And I just really liked watching that video. It was very touching.
Yeah, it's what college sports are all about. College sports are about passion.
Mm-hmm.
And like Lacey was said, this guy, this is his last, like, hoorah. Like, he's been growing up playing basketball his whole life. And you guys can attest to this. Like, when you play something for so long and you get down to the end, you can't, it's hard to let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was cool to see Tom Izzo give him his moment, because he's not going to have a moment like this. You only get one of these. Mm-hmm. It's like we saw with Kansas last night. Bill Self started his son for his senior night. His first start ever. Like senior night, it's all about the seniors. And I like what Tom Izzo did here with having him, Harris, have his moment. So I liked it. It was a good video.
So he's a transfer student.
Yes. Yep. Yes, he is.
And they went out of their way to let him kiss the logo at the end of the game.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah,
he's a Spartan.
It's not about the school; it's about the game.
He's a Spartan for half of his career.
Yeah.
Did he kiss the logo at West Virginia when he left as a sophomore as well?
It's different.
How's it different?
It's different.
If you look at his points per game, he was better as a Mountaineer.
Yes.
He averaged 17 his sophomore season at West Virginia.
Why did he transfer?
Yeah, you tell me.
He wasn't hurt at West Virginia.
Yeah.
So just because he got hurt at Michigan State, he gets to do this
and
thing
to be honored on senior night, regardless of where you
regardless
played.
Regardless of where you came
you
from,
still are going to have a senior
played,
night
you're still
and a
honored
final
on senior night.
Yeah,
just because he got hurt before his senior night and couldn't play on his senior night doesn't mean you deprive the kid of that moment. Even though Tom Izzo had every right to.
Yeah. I'm just asking questions.
He could have been pushed out of West Virginia. We don't know maybe all the details of that. Like with Russell Wilson, when he transferred his senior year, he got pushed out of NC State, and you know, people loved him. He automatically became a captain at Wisconsin. And he's just he's a good personality.
I watched him play at West Virginia because they play Kansas all the time.
Yeah.
And so he was a very, very good player at West Virginia. He was asked he played a different role at West Virginia than he did the last 2 years for Tom Izzo and Michigan State. Like he was more had the ball in his hands more at West Virginia. Here at Michigan State, he became a set shooter in the corner, and they asked him to change some things. Mm-hmm. So I think that's just part of going to a mid-major program in West Virginia to one of
mid-major.
The top 10 premier programs.
Yep. All right. Well,
I liked that, Christian.
Have
I
a
really
good time.
Did.
Hope the listeners did at home, too. But right now, it's time for a short break. When we come back, it's going to be time for another edition of Lacey Loot. Find out who Lacey talked to when we come back. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. I'm Christian Bond, and it's time for a POU Sports audio recap. On the baseball field, POU hosted Lewis and Clark for a 3-game series. Game 1 was close in the early stages before Landon Packard broke it open in the bottom of the 5th.
Here's a pitch. That's a breaking ball. It's hit into the outfield for a base hit. Rounding 3rd is Tanner Williams. He's going to score. And Packard drives in 2 for the Lutes here in the bottom of the 5th.
Packard finished the day 2-for-4 with 3 runs batted in. Jacob Gleickman didn't have his best stuff on the mound, but he found ways to get outs as the Lutes turned 3 double plays behind him. Game 2 belonged to Corey Vanderstay. The senior outfield got the Lutes on the board in the bottom of the 4th with an RBI single. When he came to the plate in the 6th, the Lutes trailed 2-1. Vanderstay hit a ball that barely cleared the left field wall for a home run. The solo shot tied the game at 2. The game stayed that way until the bottom of the 9th. You guessed it, he hit another homer, this time a walk-off for the Lutes. Here's what he had to say about his big day.
It feels pretty great just to be able to come through for my team. I've had a couple times in the past where I wasn't able to, so I don't know. It feels pretty great.
Game 3 was a wild one. The game was tied at 7 when Matt Vick reached on an error with 2 outs in the bottom of the 7th. He advanced to 3rd on another error and would come on to score on a wild pitch, giving the Lutes the 8-7 lead. The score was 9-7 when Tanner Williams was on the mound in the 9th. He closed the game out for the Lutes, picking up his first career save. Here's what POU head coach Nolan Sote had to say about his team's weekend.
It put us, you know, we put ourselves in a good position, but this league is wide open. And when you have an opportunity to sweep a decent team, you have to take advantage of it. You have to finish. And our guys did a good job battling today all day.
I'm Christian Bond, and that was your POU Sports audio recap.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents used to always say a bullet doesn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes. Right now it's time to have a listen to Lacey's Lutes. Here we go.
I am here with Corey Vanderstay. He is a senior on the PLU baseball team. Corey came off of an exciting weekend. You guys played Lewis and Clark here at home. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
And you guys ended up winning 3 out of 3 games. And on Saturday, you guys had a doubleheader. In the 2nd game, you guys were tied in the 6th inning because you hit a home run. And then in the final inning, you hit a walk-off home run. What were you feeling in that moment?
I really never felt anything like that before. It was my first ever walk-off home run, obviously. I don't even know if I've had a walk-off hit before, but I just felt great. Everybody on the team was battling all game, and I don't know, the other team played really well. Starting pitcher did a great job, and it just felt good to be able to come away with the win.
And I know you went skydiving over the summer. Can you compare the two feelings of skydiving and then hitting a walk-off home run?
I never really thought about it until now, but I guess I kind of can. For both of them, it was just so exciting in the moment that now when I think back at it and I try to really, like, I can't remember actually seeing the ball go over the fence, and I don't really remember what I saw on my way down skydiving, but I just can still remember the feeling, and I don't know, there's nothing like it. Both events were pretty awesome.
And can you kind of take us through what you were feeling when you stepped up to the plate each time, first in the sixth inning and then the ninth?
I've been feeling pretty good hitting, so I was feeling confident coming up to bat. In both of those two cases, I was pretty fortunate that the pitcher had been doing a really good job in the game getting ahead of hitters, so getting into good pitching counts, like more strikes than balls. But in both of those cases, he was a little wild early in the count, so I got into a position where I was able to get good fastballs to hit. And, I feel like I'm hitting well, but also there's always a lot of luck that comes into it, too, to be able to get the pitch you want.
Did you know as soon as you made contact that it was going to be a home run?
Yeah. The second one I did, yes. The first one I wasn't very sure. I actually thought the guy caught it against the wall, but it just barely snuck over. The second one, though, yeah, I knew right away it was over.
Awesome. So you're a senior on the team this year. PLU was picked second behind Whitworth in the Northwest Conference coaches poll. What do you kind of expect from your team this year?
Well, even from the beginning, we expected to take first. That poll kind of is just motivation to us. And now after early in the season, Whitworth dropped a couple games, and we've been able to – this sweep was huge for us because it gave us some separation throughout the year. Each game's going to mean a lot because I know the league's very even. For example, Whitworth, who, as you said, is expected to win the league, they dropped two games to a team that generally isn't seen as one of the better teams, but it just shows how evenly matched our whole league is, really.
And what is your relationship like with the other seniors on the team? I think I counted there were 12. A couple might have eligibility athletically, but what is your relationship like with those guys?
It's the closest group I've ever been with. I mean, I think there's four or five of us that have been together the full 4 years. And then after that, I know the rest have came in. Most of them came in their sophomore year, so they've been here 3 years. It's a really close-knit group. We all are friends on the field, obviously, but the relationships don't change. We always hang out off the field. I mean, they're all my closest friends I have.
And kind of changing gears here, what is your major here at PLU, and what do you plan to do with that in the future?
I'm a health and fitness promotion major in kinesiology, and I hope to work as a strength and conditioning coach down the road.
So I know you have some practice in doing that here at PLU. Can you tell us a little bit about your job here at PLU in the weight room?
I've been really fortunate. I have a job as an assistant strength and conditioning coach here, working under Coach Chris Rice. And it's been a really good opportunity for me, just because I've always known that I want to work with athletes. I've always really enjoyed strength training and everything that goes into it, but I've never actually been able to help coach other people. So, I mean, just to be able to do it hands-on and assure myself that that is what I want to do, it's really been a great opportunity, yeah.
And so I know you work with some of the teams here on campus. What are those teams? Do you work with all of them?
I've worked with quite a few. I've worked with swimming the most, probably. I worked with baseball and softball in the fall, women's basketball, men's basketball. There might be a couple more. I've worked with rowing a little bit, women's rowing. There might be a couple more, but that's all that comes to mind right now.
Do you ever have any challenges in training your peers? Because essentially you might have classes with these students, or you're really close in age with a lot of them. Do you ever have challenges there?
It can be difficult because it's hard to separate friendships from trying to hold them accountable and make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be, but I don't know, because you don't want to come across as acting like you're superior or something like that. Like, you don't want them to get the feeling of that, but it can also be helpful too, because there's more of a level of respect, because I know I'm friends with a lot of them, so at the same time, I don't want to do something to offend them, but they also know me and they respect me, and so it can also be a good thing.
And are you still working during your season?
Not so much in the spring. The baseball team is training, but since it's pretty much just our team going right now, I just work out with my team, and Chris and Jen lead the workouts.
Do you ever give some of your teammates pointers on certain lifts?
Yeah, it's hard for me to just stand by and not do anything. So if I'm lifting and see something I feel needs to be pointed out, I still go out of my way to say it.
Awesome. Well, thank you for your time, Corey, and good luck this season.
Time in the weight room really paid off for Vander Stasi, as he powered the Lutes to a win in Game 2 of their series against Lewis and Clark. We're going to take a short break here, but when we come back, we'll talk more sports stories. Don't go anywhere. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Lute Air Student Radio.
I'm Lacey Nicholson, and it's time for a PLU Sports Audio Recap. Over on the softball field, the Lutes were scheduled to host Pacific for a four-game series. In Game 1, PLU shut out Pacific. Marissa Miller pitched a complete game, striking out 7. The offensive highlight came when Anna Overland stepped to the plate with the bases loaded in the bottom of the 4th.
2 strikes, 2 outs, ducks in the pond for Anna Overland. Martin delivers. Overland hits a shot in the left center, and that's out of here. Grand slam, Anna Overland. That was a frozen rope in the left center. An absolute shot. Oh, my word.
Drew Artisoni on the call. Catherine Hatlin added a homer as PLU would go on to win 6-0 in that game. Game 2 saw more of the same for the Lutes as they beat the Boxers 9-1. Ellie Rossback was in the circle for the Lutes, and despite giving up a run, the junior threw a no-hitter. It was PLU's first no-no since the national championship season in 2012. Offensively, Overland and Hatlin hit home runs again, this time in the 2nd and 3rd innings. On Sunday, the two teams were scheduled for 2 more games. Game 1 reached the 6th inning before the tarp was pulled over the infield. Pacific has a 5-1 lead over PLU with the game suspended in the 6th inning. The 3rd game of the series will resume at the date and time that are to be determined. PLU softball returns to action on Wednesday as they host Central Washington University. I'm Lacey Nicholson, and that was your PLU Sports Audio Recap.
My hair is kind of different.
Not everyone likes the way I dress. And I don't look like other people.
Me neither. Everyone is different, but no one deserves to be bullied. So be kind, stay positive, and support each other.
Every single day.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Lute Air Student Radio. And keep the show going here. If you want to call in and talk about anything we're talking about on air, you can call us at 253-535-7332. Once again, it's 253-535-7332. Check us out on YouTube. Type in Half Athlete Radio in your search bar. You can find us there. We've got clips from the show. Also, if you want to listen to the podcast of this show, do it at mastmedia.pou.edu, and you can listen to the full podcast. So joining me in studio is Drew Artisoni. He was a member of the POU men's basketball team. Now he's...
God, that sounds ugly.
He's less. The captain of Team Cankle, it's Lacey Nicholson. She sprained her ankle last night. It's pretty swollen. Not looking too good, but she'll be all right. And rounding out our starting 3.5 athletes is DJ Winter.
Go M's.
He is a football player here at POU. All right, so let's talk a little Mariners, DJ, with the Go M's. We haven't done it in a while, but Lacey, I got a question for you. Did you put a little color in your hair recently?
Yes. Why?
Okay, well, why did you do it?
Needed a change in my life, wanted to spice things up.
That's exactly right. So last season, Felix Hernandez showed up to spring training with a blonde goatee.
Ugh.
It was the talk of spring training. Oh, look at Felix's new look. A little bit of style, a little bit of swagger. Well, with that goatee, he struggled all year long, battled injury, wasn't his usual self. This year, M's are well underway with spring training. Hernandez showed up to spring training with no color in his hair at all. Right? Videos popped up all offseason about how hard Felix is working to return to his royal self. To me, the lack of color shows a change. It shows that he's back to business, and last year's is going to be what last year was, and this year's going to be different. All business this year. If you're a Mariners fans, the absence of color from Felix Hernandez's facial hair is a good thing.
So is this some kind of superstition?
I mean, I don't know. It could be.
Well, I'm not a superstitious person, so I don't know if I believe in this. But you said that he put a lot of work in the off season, so I think that's something that will help his performance this season. And like I said, don't believe in superstitions, but I do believe, as a former athlete, I do believe in look good, feel good, play good. So if Felix is feeling good about his look, then maybe he'll start playing good ball games.
I mean, he's going all business, and his off season's been all business, and it's not even a contract year, so maybe he's getting serious. Who knows?
And he worked out with Cano and Cruz all off season. So that can pay a big difference too. Like Lacey said, I'm a big believer in hard work pays off, and obviously look good, feel good, play good. I'm a big time believer in that. That's why I wish we could wear visors here at PLU for football, but we can't. But just to shine a light on the Mariners, they're 2-1 right now, and
Give me a Cactus League record. Let's go.
No,
hey.
How many runs they've scored? Like what they scored? They scored like 18 runs the other day.
By the way,
something like that.
Yeah. But they got killed yesterday. But Gene Segura, the one bright spot as a shortstop, he went 3-for-3 yesterday with one home run and 3 RBIs. So sweet. I'm really liking what he's doing right off the bat. But we shall see if that success is continuing. But
I see what you did there right off the bat.
I'm excited for this season and everything to come.
What else do you want to talk about, DJ? Give us another story to talk
about. So it's kind of weird with this whole Nathan Hale situation. They had.
You mean how you go from being completely irrelevant in Washington?
Yeah. I put in the script.
Academy?
My little brother Brady went up and played Nathan Hale 2 years ago and beat him by 20. And that Puyallup team was not very good. Just throwing that out there. But yeah, so they went up.
You left, right?
Yeah.
You said it, not me. They went up there and beat him by 20, and I was like, man, like I've never heard of Nathan Hale, and they've been irrelevant for 52 years. They won their first league title in 52 years. How did they do this, you might ask? Well, they had, I think it was 7 guys transfer in. Obviously, you have the Porter brothers, who their dad was hired at UW as an assistant to Lorenzo Romar.
Weird.
And that hasn't worked out either.
Weird.
Yeah. And Brandon Roy was hired as the coach. Mm-hmm. And then they also have, I think, PJ Fuller, who's, I think, USC is hot on his trail right now, and I think that's where he will go. But like I was saying, 7 transfers, and, you know, you hear some things through the grapevine. You don't know if they're true or not, but I have heard that some of the guys just say they're homeschooled. So that's pretty much, like, they live in the district, but they say they're homeschooled. There's something just a little fishy about that, like, how much schoolwork are they actually doing, or are they just strictly playing basketball? So I think with this whole, like, Tacoma has an open school district too, and it just kind of raises some questions for me, because I'm not really a fan of kids being able to transfer wherever they feel so as like pleased as to going. But what are you guys' thoughts on this?
Well, Lacey. Coming from Skyline High School, there were a lot of rumors that kids were transferring just to play football, but...
Were they? Were they? End the rumors right now. End them.
End them.
Were they?
End them. End them. Do you?
I don't want to believe so.
But.
there's a but.
I'm just messing with you, Lacey.
But I don't know. I think for some kids in high school, if you're not on a standout team or a program that's well known in high school, that kind of takes away from your chances of playing in college, maybe.
That's true. I see what
And so
saying.
For some kids who maybe live in a low income area or don't live in a well known community, they're trying to get their name out there so that they can make a future for themselves.
Yeah.
I guess that's my two cents on that.
So we're going to stay away from the fact that Lorenzo Romar hired the Porter brothers' father. We'll stay away from that because
that was a great move on his part.
Because that's a great hire, but it's like inches away from an huge NCAA investigation violation.
He's toting the line.
It's the only reason the Porter brothers are all committed to going there, for the record. Once Romar loses his job and goes somewhere else, Missouri, they're probably all going to change.
That's the reason you keep Lorenzo Romar.
Yeah, that is exactly the reason Lorenzo Romar will hold on to his job. As far as coming from California, the CIF is very, very stringent on transfer students. Like, if you try to transfer for any reason other than your family is moving or you can show a, like, stiff academic reason, they don't either block your transfer or they'll take away your eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
It is very quick. It is very efficient. And you, like, if you try to transfer, like, within a conference or out of conference to someone like we could possibly play in the playoffs, you're a pariah. Like, they won't touch mm-hmm. you. So coming from California to here, when I hear of these guys who play for like four different high schools.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm like, that's not a thing. Yeah. Like, you shouldn't be able to do that. This isn't AAU.
Mm-hmm.
You go to school where you live, and you play basketball for who you go. If you want more exposure than that, you play AAU like the rest of us had
yep.
to.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But Nathan what Hale about- going from irrelevant to beating Oak Hill Academy, the number one high school program in the nation.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. Just doesn't work.
And being as someone who has grown up in this area and played AAU basketball, high school basketball, like, this happens all the time.
Oh yeah.
And like Lacey was saying, like, if they come from a bad school, or then they'll try to improve their situation. But I've known guys that have been on good teams mm-hmm. and they move up to like Rainier Beach or Garfield just to form super teams. It's like NBA free agency.
It is.
Like, you're just forming super teams just to try and win. Like state or something like that. I feel like it just takes away from the competition sometimes.
It does.
So what about football then? You talk about AAU and basketball, but there's no such thing as club football.
Yeah,
correct. Right. Well, there isn't right now, but I said that's why we were talking about basketball in this case.
Football is a little bit different.
Football is a little bit different.
Are we wrapping this up, Christian?
Yeah, we got to wrap up and go to break here. We're running out of time.
We got to get to Name That Loot.
We got to play a little Name That Loot, and that's what we're going to do.
Sorry, my story was so good.
It was just a great story.
So was mine, too. So was
yours. It was on the, it was there. All right, we're gonna take a short break. When we come back, it's time to play a little Name That Loot. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
Welcome to my block party. Glad you can make it.
The only triple doubles you get come with fries.
Last time you blocked someone, you were online.
I can do this all day. Your moves are just gay.
Using gay to mean dumb or stupid, not cool.
Not cool.
Not in my house, not anywhere.
It's not creative, it's offensive to gay people.
And you're better than that.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I'm POU's half athlete, joined by a member of the POU football team and DJ Winter. The captain of Team Kankle, Lacey Nicholson, and former member of the POU men's basketball team, Drew Artisoni. If you want to call into the show, you can do it 253-535-7332. Once again, 253 515-735-7332. Check us out on YouTube, Half Athlete Radio. That's where you can find clips of the show. If you want to hear the show in its entirety in podcast form, do it. Go to mastmedia.pou.edu.
Sorry about it.
All right. So it's time for Name That Loot. I roll out a stat line from the weekend. The three athletes in the room try and buzz in. But in order to do that, they have to have a sound. So, Drew, can I hear your sound? Very nice. DJ, what's yours? That it is. And Lacey, what you got for us? There it is.
I love how
All right. Got to go quick. This person recorded his first career win on Saturday. Drew.
Who's Tanner Williams?
Tanner Williams is correct.
Oh.
Nice.
Drew's on the board.
Good job, Drew.
Thank you.
This person recorded his first career save on Sunday. DJ.
Tanner Zuber.
Good try. Elephant.
Who is Tanner Williams again? T-Will had a good weekend.
Wow. Doubled up on Tanner Williams. Mixing it up, producer.
Oh, yeah. This person pitched 1 2/3 innings, gave up 2 hits, struck out 1 on Saturday.
I can't think of his last name.
3, 2, 1. No one even tries. This is for all of you right now. Okay. Andrew Curran.
Curran is his last name. Yeah. I couldn't think of his last
See,
name.
That name,
the
was,
same name,
that
as
name
me.
Was swirling in my mind. I just didn't hit the trigger.
Swirling.
Drove in all 3 runs for the Lutes in game 2 of the series Saturday. Elephant.
Who is Corey Vanderstay?
Dang it. My app went away.
I got an app for that.
Brady.
This person caught the final 2 outs of 2 double plays on Sunday.
What?
This is a who played first base on Sunday question.
I know who played on Saturday.
3, 2.
I have no idea.
1. Everyone gets another one of these.
We took the L, but we bounced back.
Man, I'm up. I got 2 points. It's Marcus Carlson. He caught the final out of 2 double plays on Sunday.
Freaking Carl.
Who's Marcus? Is he a freshman?
No, he's sophomore. He's been here a little bit. This person pitched 2 2/3 innings. Gave up 4 hits, 1 earned runs. Gave up 3 walks.
Oh.
Cat.
Highlights.
I'm guessing. Jacob Gleichman?
It is not Jacob Gleichman.
Darn.
Any other guesses? 3, 2, 1.
Nah, that's where I would have went.
For the other 2 of you. Christian puts 3 points. That's Chaz Lopez. He pitched 2 2/3 innings of relief. Forgot what day that is, but he did it. So.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Out of way.
Good job, Chaz.
3 points, Christian.
Out of way.
3 points. 3 points, Christian. 3 points, Drew.
This person ran an 8:23 300 meter.
Dang. What?
3, 2, 1.
Christian's really
bang.
Trying to win this.
Another X for you guys. That was Brad Hodkinson in the 3,000 meter.
Did we just go track?
Yep. This person finished 2nd in the 200 meter dash.
Oh, I'm going to just have to start learning track.
Yeah, apparently I didn't start paying attention to the
DJ.
Who is Garrett Hittner?
Did you get it?
That is correct. DJ coming up close.
Yes!
Total guess.
Let's go.
This person won the 60 meter dash for the time of Elephant.
That's Daddy Rich. That's Richard Johnson.
No.
That's Daddy Rich. I know that one.
All right. This person was 1 for 3 with 2 walks, 2 runs scored in game 1 against Pacific. That's the Elephant.
That's Samantha Simonson.
Just kidding.
Did you get it wrong?
That is correct.
Oh.
Oh.
Good answer, Drew.
Yeah, she's the freshman right fielder. Was a first-team all-league player in high school. Hits like 500. She rakes.
Person pitched a complete game, struck out 7.
Who is Marissa
DJ.
Miller?
Oh.
Who is Marissa Miller?
Two. I heard the whistle first. I don't know what happened there.
That's I'm at a career high right now.
DJ career high with 2 points. Last question. This person scored 3 runs. Was 3 for.
That was me. I swear to God, if you give it to DJ.
DJ.
Who is Anna Overland?
Incorrect. Drew, give it a shot.
Who is Emily McConnell?
Dang it.
All right. So, Drew, how many did you finish with?
Still.
How many points did you finish
six.
With? Six. I had four. Darn.
I had two.
Lace.
I had zero.
Yeah. It's a tough deal.
Woo,
tough deal.
I'm moving on up.
All right.
You didn't finish last, DJ. Yeah.
So, that's going to about do it for us here of Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5
it's been
Athletes.
Fun.
Been a good show. Stay tuned to Laser all week. You can hear the Terrence Take podcast on Thursday. She's got all the celebrity gossip. She'll have some
Oscars.
Talk about the Oscars. I can almost guarantee it.
La La Land. Oh, wait. No, never mind.
And if she doesn't say that that was a part of the show, if she doesn't say that that was a work, I am...
We can ask her tonight in our multimedia.
Upset. I've already asked her, and she doesn't think it was a work, but there's
that
no way...
That was not part of the show.
Yes, it was.
No, it was not.
Are you with me right now? Yes. Why wasn't it? How wasn't it? Was it just a... Was it really a mistake?
Yes.
No, it was not.
They would not do that.
They would not do that.
Are you kidding me?
Why would they do that?
So that we would talk about it on our sports talk radio
Wait,
show.
Wait, Terrence said it was or was it?
Terrence says it wasn't. I say it was.
I don't think it was.
I don't
think
that
it is was. A huge mistake. And
dude, yeah.
They wouldn't do that for Best Picture.
No, they might do it for something silly.
No,
like,
if you're going to do it, you go big with Best Picture.
No.
Come on.
No.
See, I don't, I don't know the Oscars enough to get in on this.
Are you a conspiracy theory guy?
No, I'm not, but I know how to produce television and entertainment, and that's how you do it.
It's good TV.
Just like this is good radio. So this has been Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes. I'm Christian Bond for Drew Artisoni, Lacey Nicholson, and DJ Winter.
Yep.
We're out of here. See ya.